Support for this public radio podcast comes from Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, shrm.org.
Bleak House.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. The Case-Shiller Index tracks the prices of homes. Today, it reported the largest decline in its 20-year history. U.S. home prices fell 8.9% in the fourth quarter, double-digit declines in eight markets. This week, the Senate's debating whether to give bankruptcy judges the power to reset mortgages, all in the name of saving some 600,000 homeowners from foreclosure. Marketplace's D.C. Bureau Chief John Dimsdale says the banking industry isn't so keen on this idea.
This is exactly the wrong answer to the mortgage crisis.
That's Ed Yingling, the president of the American Bankers Association. He says allowing bankruptcy judges to reduce mortgage payments for struggling homeowners means the courts will be cutting the value of the homes they're living in.
And that means that anybody who owns a home is seeing the value of their home as collateral for a loan go down.
But supporters like Eric Stein with the Center for Responsible Lending say court-imposed property values will still be better than the alternative, which is homeowners walking away from their loans.
If a lender has to sell a house in foreclosure, they sell it at auction, or what's called liquidation value, where they get much less than that. And so everybody's property values fall. So it hurts the lender, it hurts the neighbors, it hurts the municipality, it hurts the country.
But the White House says the bill will do more harm by driving up risk to banks and therefore mortgage prices for everyone. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Home Depot is blaming the crummy housing market on its quarterly declines. Profits fell 27% in the fourth quarter, making for the company's first annual dip in sales. On Wall Street this morning, stocks could get hammered today by news that the producer price index climbed last month. Right now, the Dow is down 41 to 12,529. The NASDAQ is down 5 to 2322. And the S&P is down 4 to 1367. Paying up for not walking down the aisle. Mexico City is considering a proposal that would force runaway brides and grooms to reimburse their significant other for wedding expenses. Traditionally, the bride's family is stuck with the bill. From the America's Desk at WLRN, Dan Gretsch reports.
In Mexico, like the U.S., weddings can be extravagant affairs. Couples spend big pesos before the big day on gowns, catering, and music like this mariachi band at a Mexico City wedding. Now a local congressman from the country's ruling conservative party wants to attach a big fine to being a runaway bride or groom. Mexico City native Manuel Perez Rocha is with the Institute for Policy Studies in Washington, D.C. He says family unity is a problem in a country torn apart by migration and poverty.
And I don't think measures like this one, that the poor bride's family don't have to pay the whole burden of the wedding, will solve anything in the long run.
The divorce rate is up in Mexico City, from 1 in 10 couples in the 1970s to 3 in 10 today. Ironically, this measure could make that problem worse, as couples with cold feet go through with it anyway. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
And the price of divorce. If watching Desperate Housewives and Lost on the iPod is too much of a strain on your eyes, listen up. ABC's making the shows available on demand for cable subscribers, the first broadcast network to do so. But there's a catch. The ABC shows come with ads you can't speed through. And you are listening to the Marketplace Morning Report on this Tuesday, February 26th from marketplace.org. The number of people taking antidepressants worldwide is astounding. In this country alone, it's estimated that 227 million prescriptions were written during 2006. Now, a new study shows many of these drugs don't significantly improve things for most patients. A team of researchers from the U.S., Britain, and Canada have found drugs like Prozac work no better than a placebo. Not surprisingly, two of the drug companies concerned have dismissed these findings, as Stephen Beard reports from London.
The researchers looked at the four most widely used antidepressants, including Prozac and Paxil. They reviewed data on 47 clinical trials. Some of that data was unpublished. The researchers used freedom of information laws to get access to it. They concluded that in most cases, the drugs had more or less the same effect as placebos. The drugs only proved really beneficial for a small group of severely depressed patients. GlaxoSmithKline, which makes Paxil, and Eli Lilly, which makes Prozac, both rejected the study as insufficient. But a spokesman for Britain's Royal College of Psychiatrists said the message was clear. Drug companies must be compelled to publish all the data from their clinical trials. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The largest gathering of experts on stem cells will be held today in New York City. It's the third annual Stem Cell Summit. For many attendees, it's about the investment opportunities, as Jeremy Hobson reports.
The summit's organizer, Robin Young, says the stem cell industry will more than double this year because of a shift in where development money is coming from.
Right now, the vast majority of investment in stem cells is coming from the government. However, as these products are used increasingly and successfully by physicians, the private market and the private capital will begin to play a much more important role.
Young predicts the market for stem cell products will grow from $36 million to $8.5 billion in the next 10 years. Much of that, says Dr. Warren Sherman of Columbia University's Medical Center, will be for the treatment of some of the nation's deadliest diseases.
There's going to be a huge opportunity, I believe, especially in terms of treating heart failure.
Not to mention cancer and diabetes. Still, Sherman says investors may want to hold on to their wallets until more studies are done. But he says, as of now, the outlook for the industry looks good. I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
A blockbuster IPO is coming soon from China. A state-owned railroad builder is hoping to raise at least $5 billion. Marketplace's Scott Tong says China desperately needs more tracks.
Chinese trains are working on the railroad harder than any other trains in the world. They carry a quarter of the world's rail traffic on just 6% of the tracks. Every winter, 10% of the world's most populous country heads home by train over the Chinese New Year holiday. William McCahill is with a consulting firm, J.L. McGregor.
The railways moved 130 million people in the space of 2.5 weeks. That's something like the population of Brazil, and it was a slow year.
But there aren't nearly enough tracks. McCahill says in the case of cargo, the system meets just 30% of demand.
It's probably the single most serious set of choke points to economic growth.
So China plans to build on a scale the world has never seen before, from 45,000 miles of track today to 60,000. The investment plan is $16 billion a year. And today's IPO of the China Railway Construction Company will raise about a third of that. Industry analyst Chu Hai.
Railroad funds in the past came from the central government, but that's not enough. They also need money from private banks and the capital markets.
For foreign investors, the new lines mean access to new markets. Consultant Kent Kettle says it's kind of like the interstate highway coming to town. It puts even smaller towns on the commercial map. His example?
Fargo, North Dakota, right on Highway 94 there. There's, you know, kind of a running joke about things being out in Fargo. It means they're way the heck out there and who really wants to go there. But it's on the highway.
The rail company was once run by the People's Liberation Army. But Kettle wonders if the government, which is now in charge, can coordinate the sprawling new network.
China is like a 7'2" teenager playing basketball. He's got the size to dunk it. Every now and then pulls off a move like you wouldn't believe. But more often than not, kind of tripping over his feet sometimes and not really all that coordinated.
Kettle thinks China will get there. And when it does, the economy may chug along even faster than it does today. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
Finding a good doctor can be hard no matter where you are. They're hoping to change that in Israel, though.
I certainly could make a lot more money in America. Living in Israel and practicing medicine in Israel, that is really the drive for me.
I'm Kai Rizdal, Doctors Without Borders, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
Confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.